Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When your health matters most, trust South Central Regional Medical Center. From family care to life-saving treatment, our team is here for you. Find our services at scrmc.com. South Central Regional Medical Center. Excellent care and service, every patient, every interaction, every time.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And welcome, friends, to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Here from the Southern Bank Corp studios in Oak Grove in Hattiesburg, Diva Mixon, alongside Kelly Sanner and the famous Bob Getty.
What's going on?
We're at the Masters. That's his Master's theme music.
Of course, you can't say anything. You can't have any fun at a golf tournament. You have to be
just
very
the beauty of the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Kelly Sanner arrives at the first tee.
No, what we can say
with three hot dogs, one in each pocket.
What we can say after somebody addresses the ball on a putt.
In the hole!
That's right.
Daniel, can you bail me out of this, please? Daniel Stewart, please jump on board. Can you do this, Daniel?
Well, I'll admit I'm pretty excited that it's Masters week.
Oh, come on. Well, don't encourage him.
It's probably the best golf week of the year.
Don't encourage him.
We can all do a little slow clap right now for Dima's intro here to today's show.
Was that a good Jim Nance? I tried my best.
That was, needs a little work, but pretty close,
We are reporting from the Masters and the Southern Bancorp studio all at the same time. Dima, of course, in Augusta.
Yeah, it looks a little different than Augusta out in the parking lot.
And Daniel Stewart sunbathing down on the Gulf Coast, I just found out. Didn't mean to interrupt you today, Daniel.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it sunbathing. Work sometimes calls me away from Hattiesburg. Uh-huh. And apparently there's some construction going on and a lot of vehicles or machinery keeps backing up. So hopefully y'all can hear me over the beeps.
Well,
it's still a nice little area.
Even down on the Gulf Coast, you're not loaning Kelly Sanner any money, correct?
I don't discriminate. I'll take care of Kelly any day.
If you saw my credit rating, I think you'd take that back, Daniel.
We just have to make sure we're collateralized highly for Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
Extremely highly. And you'd want his sister to co-sign if you had anything.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Daniel Stewart is our baseball analyst, of course. And Daniel, we got Mark Etheridge from D1 on later today. I told my wife earlier this morning, I said, you don't think I'm going to ask him to explain to me why the Golden Eagles are still in their top 10, and she says, no, don't do that. I don't want to know, and I don't want you to put any bad thoughts in his head. Why are you surprised, Daniel?
I really am, honestly. I think we're number 16 in the RPI, and I would say that's probably more accurate than, actually where we are. But I think we really have to just – as a fan, we kind of feel like we're dropping the ball a little bit, losing some teams we shouldn't. But to the voters at large, I think they still remember what we did first of the year,
right,
which is kind of warranting that, number 10 ranking, I believe I saw in one of the polls.
D1.
So, I'm not surprised. We're going to have to lose some really bad games to drop, out of the top 10, top 15.
And don't misunderstand, I'm delighted because I think for years, and Dima, you can jump in here, I think for years the team has struggled to get the national respect that it deserved, but not any longer, apparently.
Yeah, and a lot of times it was Southern Miss trying to get up in RPI, right? Like, you'd be sitting there 25, 26, 27, 28. But, this is a team that started number one, for the first half of the season. Now they've dropped since everything's kind of shaping together, and now we can
start looking at RPI as, you know, the Bible in that context of college baseball, that's how it's viewed, because everything's starting to come into play. But still, they're 16 in RPI, which is very safe to host for a Sun Belt team. You have marquee mm-hmm. wins all over your schedule. Yes, you've gone through this kind of slump, and I guess everybody here is kind of thinking like it's doomsday, but they're still winning series. They're not losing series.
That's right.
They've lost a couple of bad midweek games, but every team has lost bad midweek games. I mean, Florida lost to a really bad team. I forgot who it was. You know, Arkansas lost to a bad team. You know,
yeah.
Mississippi State just got swept by Georgia. Every team goes through this, but when you look at the overall body of work, Southern Miss baseball is by far has one of the best resumes in the country.
When you looked at the schedule, when the schedule first came out, the initial reaction was, good gracious, how difficult a schedule this is. And speaking for myself, when I saw the Privateers of New Orleans on the schedule twice, I thought, they kind of stick out. Are they playing once or twice?
Once.
Okay. They just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. I'm going, what? With all these other tough schools, I get it from a geographic standpoint for sure, but the Privateers, right. it didn't fit the mold of all the other teams that they were playing this
but
year.
But Daniel Stewart, we just can't take any game for granted. I mean, I walked into the baseball stadium last week convinced that they were going to win on Tuesday night. Didn't really occur to me that they wouldn't.
Yeah, it's just you hate to say it, that's just baseball. You know, we say that a lot. That's just baseball, but. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, Coach Berry said there's D1 players practicing every week to beat you. And UNO was another one of these teams. I group into that same little category with Nicholls State, Southeastern Louisiana. They're going to be feisty. They're going to be hard-nosed, gritty baseball players. And, no, we cannot take anything for granted, especially even at Pete Taylor Park, which I feel better about playing them there. But they're still going to play us hard tonight.
Right. We see a lot of and it seems to me that just this year, when coaches are making pitching announcements, Daniel, we're getting a lot of to-be-determines. Do you anticipate that this is going to be the wave of the future of we're not going to say who's pitching?
No, I think we're going to get it figured out. I think we're just in that little phase now where we're still trying to figure out who maybe that guy is. I think Sundstrom's probably going to get maybe the Saturday start like he did last weekend. Who knows about Sunday? I don't think this is going to be a permanent situation. I think we're going to get it figured out. But right now we're kind of trying to see who is that guy going to be. And you look at statistically, Sundstrom's our ace. He's got the lowest ERA, some of the high strikeouts. He's had a really good year. I think he earns that spot. I don't think they're going to move Colby back. I think he's made it clear he's more comfortable in that reliever role. But we've got some figuring out to do from the pitching staff, especially with our starters.
But we've got a lot of opposing teams listing TBDs, including tonight. And we were kind of joking.
Okay.
We were kind of joking in the production meeting that the New Orleans coaches are saying, "Okay, of you left-handers, who can throw it 55 to 60 up there?"
or maybe that's just a tactic to keep us off of our game here. You know, they're going to let it be a mystery who they're pitching tonight. I don't know about that argument, but. It's not common. It really isn't. Maybe they're dealing with some of the same things we are, but usually, it's going to be announced who your guy's going to be to start.
Yeah, and I don't think it really matters because Ostrander could go a lot of different ways with right-handers or left-handers. He's got some flexibility there.
Yeah, he does. It's probably going to be what's the matchup. Does the team do better against righties or do better against lefties? And you know, if you got a lineup that's high, a lot of righties, you want to start that righty. A lot of lefties, you're going to start that lefty to get the matchups. But I think it's going to be like we've seen, if we got three or four innings out of whoever this mystery starter is, I'd count that a victory. And then let the Littletons come in, fortunately get us to our closer. I mean, he has been lights out. I think his whip is .60, which is unbelievable in the mid part of the season. So, I still like our team, like where we are. A lot of baseball left to play.
Yeah, no question about that. A little surprising this past weekend, last minute and a half we have to get your thoughts. What we've seen all year long is, kind of so-so starting pitching, and then the bullpen comes in untouchable. Now, I get it was only two bad innings, but we sort of saw the opposite in a way this past weekend where the starters, on particularly Thursday and Friday, went well into the game, did very well, and in two instances, it was the bullpen that that gave up a lot of runs.
Yeah, it was. You know, Cross is one of those guys. I mean, we know what he can do. Sometimes he goes out there and he looks like the ace of the staff, and then other times he goes out there and the opposing team just got his number. He just can't seem to do anything right. McCarty had a little bit of a tough inning as well. I think they gave up 6 runs in the bottom of the 7th there. So, fortunately, we did enough on the offensive side to win that game. But, you know, if the bats were cold, the other pitcher was doing a good job, that game could have easily gone the other way. Yeah. We've got some talent. I think we just still have to kind of figure out, you know, who's that starter going to be? And once we get that figured out, hopefully everything else kind of falls into place.
All right, and last question. I'm sure you agree Colby Allen will be just fine. He had one bad outing, but I look for him to bounce right back.
He will. He's a senior. He's been here before. He understands how this works. And you know, it's to his credit, we know what he can do, but sometimes, for whatever reason, you just don't have it that day. And I just think he just didn't have it. He's probably got a lot of scouting from the opposing teams on him, so they know what he's going to pitch. And probably we're just sitting on, you know, that slider. And, you know, it is what it is. He's going to bounce back. He's going to be fine. If anything, maybe this makes him mad. Maybe he'll come back and want to prove a point next time. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to see.
All right, Daniel, thanks for joining us from the coast, man. We'll let you get back to work. Really appreciate you, and talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Daniel Stewart, everybody, our baseball analyst, of course, is one of the executives with Southern Bank Corp. And that's the studio that we're broadcasting from. So we head to break. Want to welcome a new client to the show, Movie Star Restaurant. Movie Star, great country cooking buffets. Man, pork chops, fried chicken, fried catfish, peas and cornbread. Do I need to say anything more?
I really like
Movie Star. Really like the movie? Really like Movie Star. Like the banana pudding?
Do you like it, Kelly?
Shh.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
And welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Now that's not going to be quiet. Where's he been, by the way? We haven't had him back.
Where has Kelnack been, by the way, Sander?
He's in Augusta, Georgia this week.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who was riding him into the Masters Club? Davis Riley?
Has he predicted who's going to win the Masters?
He will. I'm sure if you ask him, he'll know. Because he knows all, Bob. He's the soothsayer, sage seeker, all that kind of thing.
Well, speaking of people that know all, Southern Miss wins by how many tonight, Demon?
Golly, I'm not predicting that. This team is so unpredictable. I want to talk about pitching statistics really quickly.
It's a little surprising.
It's very surprising. I was doing some numbers, just kind of getting if you follow me on Twitter and kind of where I write, each week I do my weekly baseball grades from the past weekend. So I was kind of diving into the numbers a little bit. The pitching staff at the start of the season was so dominant, right? I mean, it was just almost lights out. These are the pitching stats in conference play so far. That the team overall is a 4.97 ERA, which is, I mean, that's significantly high. I mean, that's almost shockingly high from what they were doing. And it's not, you know, it's not one or two guys that are kind of inflating the numbers. Two guys in particular that I want to talk about and kind of get your thoughts on. You've mentioned Cross Sively, a 6.35 ERA in conference play, and Josh Ock, who was a guy who was just lights out to start the season. I mean, nobody was hitting him. They could really foul him off. A 7.20 ERA in conference play. So those two guys to me have been a little surprising. You got your Sundstrom and Allen both at over 5 ERA. Colby Allen 5.27, Sundstrom at 5.28. And Graydon Harris is kind of the lone wolf at 3.97. And then, of course, Camden Clark with a 0 ERA, and he's just been unhittable. But, I mean, Kelly, I mean, is it kind of – and it might be, you know, just more film on these guys, but those numbers are to me at least, a little shocking.
And those numbers are conference numbers.
Conference-only games.
Right. So I just restate that because that makes it especially shocking. When you look at the schedule,
right,
the teams that the Eagles played early on in the year, you would argue, are better than the teams that they have faced in conference. But yet the conference teams have been performing better. Now, some of that goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the season, that the hitters will improve as the year goes on. The pitchers tend to have the advantage early part of the season, but as the hitters work out their kinks and get their timing down, and you do know a little bit more about each of these pitchers, you would expect those numbers to go up a little bit. But to show you how well-rounded the Southern Miss team is, even though those numbers are up, they're still doing generally what they need to do.
Here's a stat for you. They have 4 wins over top 25 schools, right? They've lost more Sun Belt games than that. Am I not right about that? They've lost more than 4 Sun Belt games.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
This whole year hasn't made any sense.
But I think that's why Oz and this program is so frustrated right now. Like I've said it before on multiple podcasts that I've been on. Like if they were, 11-6 coming out of that non-conference schedule or whatever it is. You would have taken it, sure. And then you would have gone through something like this. I think you would have just been at where you're normally at this season, thinking, maybe they don't make a regional. That would be like worst case scenario, but like they're going to figure it out. But like this is like, they're definitely like, they're not in any case like in danger of not being in the tournament. But like you just know it. It could have been so much better.
Well, I think that's what they're playing for right now, and they're going to play for the rest of the year is to play a regional here.
Yeah, of course.
That's what they're playing for at this point. They'll be in a regional, but you don't want to go to an SEC school and play in a regional. And that's exactly where you're going to go if you don't host.
Here's what worries me is when you look at the rest, because we talked about how good it would be for them to go to Norfolk last weekend and sweep ODU. That didn't happen. You're going down to Cajun Country this weekend to play Louisiana.
Difficult to go sweep.
Always.
I mean, I don't think anybody would expect to sweep, right? I mean, that would be pretty impressive, especially with where this team has gone.
But when you pull it up online now or go to sunbeltsports.org and look at the standings in baseball, they are all so jumbled together, except for Coastal at the top and maybe one or two teams at the bottom, that if you stub your toe one or two times and get into a 4 or 5-way tie – with some of these teams, of course, the head-to-head usually is who you beat series or won series over. But still, if you get into one of those situations similar to what we saw in basketball, one day you could be a 2 seed, and then the next week you could be a 7 or 8 seed. That's problematic,
right.
if you get to that point. So you just can't stub your toe too many times.
And there's been a lot of talk about the offense, in conference play over these past several weeks, where they've done this like win-loss, 500 ball. Right now, the offense in conference play, and these are just the numbers, and, I'm with a lot of people saying the offense did struggle, but these are the numbers. You got, I'm counting off the top of my head, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got 7 players batting over 300 in conference play, which, if you'd have told me that, I'm fine with that. That's good offense. Now, 2 guys, that you need to be better, Dre Barrett and Tucker Stockman. Dre Barrett, 205, Stockman, 152. They need to get better. But you have, 6 or 7 guys batting over 300, and you're batting as a total in conference 290, which is really good. I'm not mad about 290. It's the situational hitting I think is their problem.
But I'll ask both of you this: when you put both sides of the ball together, offense and defense, is there any position on this team that's a little bit shaky at this point?
Well, I'm not going to say shaky, but I got to tell you that realistically, we need to look back and look at some of the kids they lost. They lost a freak in center field. Let's just be honest. I mean, he's an All-American, once-in-a-generational center fielder.
Yeah, and they had it like 3 years in a row, too.
You lost an All-American second baseman. Mm-hmm. You lost an all-conference, top-notch college shortstop. You lost a 5-year starter in right field who was a legendary player. I mean, and you lost an All-American shutdown Friday night pitcher.
Yeah.
I think they're doing really well overall, considering that. But I think maybe we sometimes lose a little sight as to how much was lost from last year's team. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. You take that because you're automatically comparing this year's team to last year's team,
right? And I think when you get there, you're like, what does last year's team that this year team have that this year's team didn't have, right? This team does not have a certified ace, right, like J.B. Middleton was, where he was every night you just knew you were going to win on Friday.
Or what I would call a superstar player. And
right.
Got at least two on that team last year.
Right, and then you had, like you said, Cook in center field. I mean, that was just impossible to replace. Now, the things that last year's team did have that this team should have is also apparent. Matthew Russo with 18 homers last year, only four currently this season. This team should have a 15 to 20 home run Russo. That's just something that it should have. You think about Dre Barrett, who had 9 to 11 homers last year and only has two or three right now. So those are the things that I look at. But you're right. When you look at last year's team to this year's team, I think last year's team, you could argue, was a little bit more athletic than this year's team, right? And it's shown a little bit.
What about the catching position?
Well,
you guys, I mean, that to me, I mean, you build the strength of your team up the middle, pitcher, catcher, middle infield, and center field. And I just don't know that as a package, the catchers. Well,
I think you got a great defensive catcher in Stockman. I think he's a big, strong kid. And he's a great player. A really good player. He's just not hitting the ball like he did last year. Bottom line. And he's probably in the worst slump of any starter on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's still – I mean, like I just read off those numbers. I mean, he's batting 150 right now in conference play, which just isn't good.
And then if something were to happen to him, then
well, I mean, you don't have you don't have a lot of depth.
You got
the Lawson Odom kid, and I don't know who you have after. Here's one other thing I want to ask you guys about, and tell me if this is a stupid observation. A lot of base hits against the team that seem to just get by the shortstop or just get by the second baseman. And with all due respect to the kids playing those positions, and I realize they're fine players and great kids. You just wonder how many of them Pratt would have got to. How many of those, you know,
Monastir
would have gotten. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. That's what I was saying. Last year's team was just a little bit more athletic. And that's not a knock on this year's team. It's just shown a little bit.
Right.
And we came into the year knowing that, right? And I remember saying there are going to be times where we're going to see balls and saying, oh, Pratt would have gotten that. Oh, Monastir probably would have gotten that. Or Cook would have gotten that in center field. And this team just doesn't have that. Now, has it necessarily cost them any games? Maybe here or there. No. But I don't think it's going to cost them long term. Like, that's the reason they're going to lose in a regional.
And I think Coach Ostrander gave you that at the beginning of the year. I think he said we're not going to be as athletic, but we're going to have guys that can swing it.
Yeah, I don't want to come across the wrong way here. The team's doing very well.
Yeah,
they're the 10th ranked team in the country. We're nothing to complain about. But if you're looking at last year's team and this year's team, it's a little unfair to compare these kids to last year's team overall, I think.
Well, you're giving up athleticism for power, or that you anticipated.
What you thought would have power.
Yes, you anticipated having that power. And if there's a little bump in the road here, it's that power has not been generated yet. And you hope that – now, again, it's not costing them a great deal, but when Coach Ostrander says we're this close from putting it all together, it's just one aspect or another has been just off.
Right. You've gotten your power from Morrison and Joey Urban and Gillespie, but you also need your power from your power guys, which is Russo. That's your power. He's your four-hole hitter. Like, you need that guy to start hitting deep flies. And he got one this weekend against Old Dominion, so we'll see if that helped him out a little bit.
Nobody covers baseball better than D1, so what do you say we bring Mark Etheridge from D1 on the show next?
Yes, here at the Southern Bancorp Studio.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, that second segment of the show, of course, sponsored by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. That's where they sell premium Goodyear products. Full service truck and auto work. Big Southern Miss supporters. Family owned since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. And DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They're on Hardy Street. That's where you go for all your baseball and softball training. Adult sport training is a beautiful facility, state of the art. Luke Reynolds is the manager. He's a former All-American, both at Southern Miss and Mississippi State, and we're glad to have him part of the Hattiesburg community. Equally as glad to have Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball back on the Eagle Hour. He's been making some regular appearances, for which we're very grateful. Mark, kind of set us Southern Miss guys straight down here. We expect almost perfection and go 15-2 to start the year and playing a little above 500 over the last 3 weeks. Bit of a struggle, and as Oswood has frequently told us, this is not up to our standard, but I think on behalf of all Southern Miss people, I owe you some thanks for the really respect that your organization continues to show Southern Miss baseball, Mark. Your thoughts about where the Golden Eagles are right now?
Well, certainly the beginning of the year earned Southern Miss a lot of respect and credibility. I mean, the non-conference schedule was very challenging, and Southern Miss had a lot of success. And I think even now, I think the last time I checked, the non-conference RPI, not the overall one, but the non-conference RPI was still number one in the country. The problem has been in conference play, and I don't think anyone would suggest that the teams, the Sun Belt teams that Southern has played, are as good as the teams that they were handling
right
earlier in the year. And that's, to me, the confusing part of this, but it also kind of gives me some hope that every team goes through these stretches. I mean, other than UCLA, apparently, who can't lose, but just about everyone else goes through this. And because of what we saw earlier in the year, there's hope, there's belief that this thing is going to flip and Southern Miss can start. What they need to do is start sweeping some series, because if you want to host a regional, you saw what happened last year, you're going to need to go on a streak and win some of these games, but more importantly, avoid some of these losses that really drag your resume down. And I think that's going to be the big thing that, you know, folks like me, you know, watching the whole country, when we look at Southern Miss, is going to be, can they go on one of these streaks and show and basically just demonstrate that they're one of the top 10 teams in the country.
You know, Mark, I'm curious to see your thoughts on this. I feel like there's a lot of teams across the country right now who you could say at their best could potentially win the World Series, but at their worst, it's really bad. And I wonder if Southern Miss falls under that, but also there's a lot of teams, I think, currently in the top 15 that fall under that, outside of UCLA, yep, like you said.
Yeah, I think the sport is flattened. And the result of that is that the teams at the top are not that much better than the teams in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams in the middle are not that much better than the teams at the bottom. And occasionally you'll have some outliers on either end, but everybody else is kind of vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's where Southern Miss is. It's a really good team. It's a good roster. But it isn't so talented that it can play its B game and coast.
Right.
And just looking at the numbers, man, I mean, if you'd have told me Russo would only have four bombs at this time of the year, I'd have thought, no way, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his final year. He hit, what, 18 or so last year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really thought this was going to be it would be his year, right? And then, you know, guys like Stockman not hitting and Barrett's not hitting. And, you know, Caleb Staley, you know, was supposed to be an impact transfer and he's not hitting. You know, that to me is concerning, although all of those guys have hit in their past.
Right.
So you do think that at some point, you know, that's going to kind of return. You know, baseball's a game, law of averages, all that kind of stuff, where, you know, you call it an average for a reason. And if you're a career, you know, 270 hitter, you should at some point get up to that range. And it's just those guys are below it right now. And I feel like if that does stabilize, then that's the kind of jump that needs to occur for them for the Golden Eagles to go on a run.
You know, you cover the whole country, and now that we're almost, you know, we're basically a little over halfway, I believe, of the season. How do you think Southern Miss stacks up against the other top teams? I mean, do you think, you know, I know they're in a slump right now, but at their best, do you think that Southern Miss, you know, could compete against the top five or whatever?
Yeah, I love the bullpen. Just so many options. There's stuff. There's pitchability.
the rotation, I mean, you don't know what you're getting from Harris week to week. When he's on, he can beat anybody. If not, well, I mean, that he's vulnerable as well. And then after that, man, I mean, Cameron Sundstrom, I love the stuff. I mean, maybe he, you know, with more starts, he turns into, you know, another dependable, longer inning guy. And then after that, man, I mean, that's the concern for me is you're having to piece it together. Fortunately, there's a really good bullpen, and that allows you to do that better than a lot of teams could. But that's the difference for me when I look at Southern Miss. I love the depth of the staff. I'm not sure at the high end it's as good as some of these teams, you know, that we're frankly ranking them near.
Right.
And then offensively, I mean, the bottom of the lineup's got to produce more.
Yeah.
I mean, the top is strong. The top matches up. It's after that. And when you have those, quote, easier innings, that really, really takes the load off the opponent, right? Because maybe they can skate through with the back of the, you know, back of the pecking order reliever, you know, to get through 7, 8, 9 one inning. And that's something that, you know, that you look around at the top teams in the country, and there are not a lot of holes in those lineups. Right.
Mark, I want to zoom out of Southern Miss and zoom back in on the Sun Belt in general. When you look at Coastal Carolina, if the season were to end today, they win it with room to spare with the number one seed. But yet they're comparatively, right, sometimes they're behind Southern Miss in a lot of these polls. To the average onlooker, they'll scratch their head and go, that doesn't make sense. Fill us in.
Yeah, it's a non-conference. I mean, Southern Miss, I mean, that did so well in non-conference. And the other thing is more poll mechanics, and I don't know how much you want to get into that, but with the way that we work it, if you win your series, you're not really going to be punished that much. And Southern Miss, correct me if I'm wrong, has only lost one series, right?
The
Arkansas State one. So there hasn't been that course correction that sometimes occurs. You know, if you drop a, or if you get swept, or if you drop a big series, and I do think right now Coastal's the team to beat, and they're about to, you know, what we're hearing is they're going to get Cam Flukey and Johnson back, and if that happens, they've been building up a pretty good pitching staff without those two guys, and then you put your top two, and everybody slides down a spot, and they just get so much more dangerous.
No,
sure. Plus, you know, that position group that gained so much experience with last year's run. So yeah, there's certainly, you know, if we're projecting, which we're going to have our next batch of projections come out next week, not this week, and we'll have a Nerdcast to go along where we act as the committee, and we argue and debate and slot teams where we feel like they're going to go. And I feel like Coastal will be ahead of Southern Miss when we do that.
So, Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt you. About a minute and a half left. Does Southern Miss remain in contention to host a regional tournament? What do they have to do between now and the end of the year to secure that tournament?
Yeah, win conference games. I mean, the non-conference is a huge advantage that most teams don't have. And I do feel like there needs to be more sweeps. I mean, the series last weekend, I mean, went to a rubber game on Sunday, and that was anybody's game. That was a wild one.
Right.
And I think showing more dominance, because, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, if you're not in those top conferences, you know, we'll say really from the Sun Belt down or the Big Ten down, you're not going to get those advantages where the benefit of the doubt because you're playing a great team every week. So you've got to take care of the teams that you do play and show that you're so much better than they are. And that's hard to do, right? Because we talked about how the sport is flattened. But I think that's, you know, that's reality. And they did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the recipe again. You don't have to win 19 in a row. But I do feel like showing more dominance, playing better. And if you lose, it's a tight game that could have gone either way. But most of the time, you're sweeping the teams that you obviously everyone feels you're better than. That's the recipe going forward. They've done enough in non-conference. It's all about conference right now, and that's a great place to be because you can control that.
All right, that's good stuff, man. We really do appreciate your input, Mark. And as long as you're willing to put up with us, we're going to keep reaching out to you. Is that cool?
Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Love talking ball.
All right, thank you, my friend. Mark Etheridge, everybody, from D1 Baseball. As we head to the break, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your team is fun, but you're the most important player. Make sure now you get an annual physical, eat right, exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. If you run into problems, Forest Health is there, and they'll help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And as we head to the break with the Doors, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I really want to thank Mark Etheridge for joining us. Glad Demo has made that connection with D1, and good to have those guys on the show. I thought what he said made perfect sense. Perfect sense.
About what?
About that Southern Miss, they, based on what they did in non-conference play, they're getting the benefit of the doubt, but I think he nailed it. They need to start dominating some of these teams in the Sun Belt if they expect to have a regional tournament here.
I agree. And I thought his answer about how Southern Miss stacks up to other teams is also interesting. About the rotation. As much as we liked the bullpen, the rotation's a little shaky. I mean, like you said, you don't really know what you're getting from Graydon Harris. When he's on, he's lights out. But when he's not on, it's a little shaky. And then Sundstrom has looked good. But when I read off those numbers early in the show, it's not been great in conference play.
No, and you're right. A little sobering news, too, about Coastal Carolina, because if they've been doing what they've been doing without their studs.
They bring them two cats back.
Yeah, that could change the complexion of the league
quick,
even more.
I want to remind you that this segment is sponsored by our good friends at Jewel Masters. That's where you go to sell all your gold and silver, and it's very valuable these days. Old coins, old jewelry even. Marty Vick is an expert at that. He's been doing it longer than anybody in town, and well, he's just a great guy. You're going to get the best price anywhere. Don't be fooled by what other jewelers tell you. Marty Vick has been doing it forever at Jewel Masters. That's where you go to sell your gold and silver. And if you need reading glasses, construction supplies, home remodeling supplies, even garden stuff that Kelly's constantly buying, MCS Home Center is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to serve you there at 7329 Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Wonderful family, great local people, and just happy to have MCS as part of our family.
And I don't know what happened, but apparently Nancy Pelosi has bought a bunch of stock in Peepers.
Oh, is that correct?
Reading glasses.
Yeah, she'd know the stock to buy now. I don't think there's much question about that. Well, she puts Warren Buffett to shame, buddy.
Yeah, my point is if you don't think Peepers are any good.
Completely honest, though, in all her trades, I'm sure.
Of course she
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. She's a good, hard
working, all of them in Congress.
Hard-working politician.
Are so honest.
There you go.
How much, Dima, you've been following spring football, too. Really not a whole lot left of spring football. There's not a lot of meat on the bones of spring football anymore as we know it compared to the old days, but the coordinators now kind of taking center stage from the workouts that the Eagles have had. Anything jump out at you from what the coordinators have had to say?
Yeah, we got to talk to both of them yesterday, and I have stories out on my site. You can go find them on Twitter or HubCitySpokes.com, Pine Mountain News. Did stories on both of them. You know, we talked to Kyle Cefalow. You know, he said it's an inexperienced group, but, you know, he kind of looked at it as that almost like an advantage because they're all kind of learning the same thing, you know, if that makes sense. They're having to learn the new playbook, but they're also having to learn how to play together. And he thinks that that's actually a unique advantage for them. Then, of course, on the defensive side, Joe Bolden, first time ever doing this, right? Never been a defensive coordinator before, but he was talking about leaning on some past experiences and what he's learned from other greats in the sport, such as Larry Johnson, Don Brown, you know, DJ Durkin, those coaches that he's learned from. And he said, listen, you know, he was asked about like the nasty bunch, you know, mantra and all that stuff. He said, listen, we are going to be lethal. We're going to attack, but we got to do so disciplined. We got to be disciplined in that as well. And so we'll see what happens. You know, the defense to me is still the biggest question mark on this team. It just doesn't appear to be the best defense I've ever seen Southern Miss have. And, you know, the offense, like we've documented, it's just a bunch of new. You have quarterbacks back there who have been in Anderson's system before, but not really anybody else. So you just hope that they're able to figure this out. And like you said, there's not much time left in spring. Then they'll come back for summer camps and then fall camp right around the corner.
Well, we documented about how John White has progressed and heard from head coach Blake Anderson that John White is among the most improved players on the team. And I've got the question over the weekend, does John White, you think, have a legitimate chance to win the spot? And I don't know the answer to that other than to say that usually when you bring a quarterback in, like they did with Ethan, that you'd figure that that's going to be the guy, that he's been pre-designated number one. But the complexion may be changing?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think John White 100% has a chance to win the job. You know, seeing him on Saturday during that scrimmage, I was very encouraged by him. He's definitely, you know, figured out that arm. That arm is a lot stronger than it's been. And Kyle Cefalo told us yesterday, he said, listen, I got three quarterbacks who are all in line for this job, and all three of them are making it really hard. And he said he wants to see that. You know, it's John White, it's Ethan Hampton, but it's also Landry Liddy, who started a game last season, right? So you got three guys back there, all with experience, you know, and two with experience in this system, in Anderson's system, with Liddy and White. But like you said, Hampton came over, and he has a ton of playing experience, you know, which is different. So, you know, we'll see what happens. So far in practice, you know, Hampton's gotten all the first-team reps, but then they'll mix John White in with those first-team reps as well. So it's still too early, though. They're not going to, you know, they're not really going to know till fall who the guy's separating himself.
And although those words are encouraging, you have to take a look at the complete turnover of coaching staff to a degree and players certainly. Mm-hmm. So let's be realistic in what the expectations of this team can be.
When's that Tulane game?
Yeah.
Was it game four? Is it something like that?
Something like that.
Is that not going to be just something else, man?
That's a day to stay off Twitter.
100%. Yeah. Hey, I want to thank our good buddies at Genesis of Hattiesburg for all they do on our program, as well as Mo Babe and Yay Company, which is a great place to go any day of the week. We love and thank our sponsors very much, and most of all, we thank you for listening every day. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, preview the baseball game from tonight. We're going to bring some softball interviews on the show the rest of the week as well. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.